You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Who's feeling good today? Come on, it's Christmas time. How can you be sad at Christmas time? Hey, who loved Twisted this week? Wasn't it phenomenal? So many of us. It's so awesome. It's going to be a fun Sunday in church today. It's quite true. I'm quite tired, but I don't care. Because tiredness is a choice. It's a choice. And anyone who's a parent here knows what I'm talking about. And sometimes you don't get to sleep at all. And that's what Starbucks is for. I've had 6 shots already, so who knows what I'm going to say today. Who knows? But hey, why don't you grab your seat and turn to someone and give them a high five. Tell them they're awesome. Tell them that they are the best looking people. Before I get into my message, I want to show you just a couple of quick pictures of South Campus because I know you're all wondering what's going on down there. And there's a bit of a screen malfunction with the projector, but you can still see it pretty well. The bottom's cut off, but you can see our building. There it is! That's our building right there, demoed. And there's Emma and Georgia walking through it. So there's a... What is it? Oh, it's okay, honey. You look great. And Georgia is dressed as a princess. And you see how awesome that building is. Huh? Isn't it cool? Who's excited about our building? Come on, someone. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited because we're going to see in those four walls there, we're going to see a lot of people get saved. A lot of people are going to get transformed. Right? Actually, keep that picture. Those four poles that you see, starting from left or going across... our sanctuary, our auditorium is kind of centered around those four poles. So those two poles that you see, the far left and then the third one across, is actually our altar. So people are going to get saved right there on that altar. And they're not just going to get saved there, because how many people know that we don't just build a building and just build it and they will come? That's not what we're doing. No, we're building a church. So people are going to get saved in that building, but they're going to be discipled in our households. They're going to be discipled in our cafes. In our restaurants, they're not going to get discipled necessarily in that building. They'll get discipled maybe in your house. Maybe in your house. Maybe you'll start a Connect Group next year. Huh? Come on, somebody. It's Connect Group week. It's probably appropriate to get real excited because I think we're going to do Christmas party Connect this week. I don't want anyone going to Connect and having anything less than about 500 grams of carbohydrates. So I want to think it is Christmas party week. Time to get into Connect Group if you're not in one. And a lot of cool things happening. Christmas is coming up. In case you didn't know, we're doing a host home thing, which you'll find out more about. In fact, you can see Stacy straight after service today. If you want to get involved in that, we want people to open their homes on Christmas Day. We want people to open their homes for people who maybe don't have somewhere to go on Christmas Day. We don't want anybody in our campus to be alone on Christmas Day. That is an important thing for us as the church to make sure that people are not alone on Christmas. So if you need somewhere to go or you want to open your home, I want you to see Stacy straight after the service. Is that cool? Yeah. All right, let's get into this, shall we? Let's get into it because I am excited to preach to you this morning. The more you shout and get excited, the faster I will preach and we'll be out of here quicker and you can go and have your CPK, get your free pizza. If you're new here, go to Welcome to Church Party. But I love Christmas. I just do. I love Christmas. I think if you don't love Christmas, you probably need to see a counselor, find out where that comes from. Something went wrong in your childhood. You need to fix that thing. I love Christmas. I love Christmas movies. Come on now, somebody. Who loves Christmas movies? Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That is one of the greatest movies of all time. Chevy Chase putting those lights on his roof. He's an inspiration. Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. You know, I need to say it. They're the greatest Christmas movies ever created. They are. We're not going to talk about Home Alone 3 or 4. Let's pretend they never happened. But Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, if you haven't seen them this week, you should definitely watch that. Just make that a priority in your life to watch those movies back to back. Get some pizza. You're going to enjoy it. I love Home Alone. Love Christmas movies. Love Christmas songs. I love Christmas carols. If you don't love Christmas carols, again, you need to see a counselor. I need your help for that. I love Christmas carols. I grew up with a sister that was obsessed with the band Hanson. Anybody remember the 90s? Yeah. If you're aged 25 to 35, there's a very good chance that Hanson had an impact on you to some degree. Anybody know the Hanson Snowed In Christmas album? Yeah, a few of you do. I'm not going to sing it. There's not enough of you know it for me to sing it. But I'll just say that I heard that Christmas album every year for many, many years. And kind of grew to love the band Hanson. Taylor, yeah, she was my favorite. She was my favorite. But Hanson, Christmas. Who loves getting Christmas gifts? I still remember I'd say this. It was the best Christmas of my life. It's a big call to make, but I'm going to make it. 1995. Super Nintendo with Donkey Kong. Yeah, come on now. These kids all get upset about if their app isn't amazing. You have apps that are better than my Super Nintendo whole gaming console. And I had like five games on my Super Nintendo. That's it. People have more apps than I did games. But Donkey Kong was definitely a highlight for me. That was the best Christmas of all time. Georgia is so excited about Christmas, just in case you're wondering. She wants Shopkins, she wants a Barbie house, she wants Beauty and the Beast toys, she wants Peppa the Pig stuff. Basically, everything she sees, she basically says, I want that for Christmas. So pray for Santa Claus. Pray for him. I love Santa as well. Some Christians have a problem with Santa Claus. Again, you need help on that. He's just a big old happy old man walking around giving people presents. Some of you all need to do that. That'd be good for you. But Santa Claus, I love Santa. I love Santa. In fact, for those of you that know me for a few years, you would know that I wasn't always this lean. I was slightly bigger previously. And around this time every year, I'd get the awkward conversation from somebody. So, Drew, Christmas is coming up. And you want me to be Santa? Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, fine. And so I would be Santa every year for many, many years, which is, it was fun. I'd just do whatever. You know, I was just there to help. You know, our church back in Australia to grow. I'd be Santa. It was kind of strange though, because if you can't see it, you can all see them probably from the back row. I have massive black eyebrows, massive black European eyebrows. Very different from the traditional Santa eyebrows. So there I'd be Santa every year with a 25-year-old, 27-year-old face and massive black eyebrows. So, needless to say, the kids, you know, pulled my beard off and punched me and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know how I got talked into doing that. One year I was Easter Bunny, not at Christmas, at Easter I was Easter Bunny, because at youth ministry, you just do whatever you get told to do. And one year I became Easter Bunny at Easter, and I'm not kidding you, a 13-year-old kid bomb dived onto my spine as I was like trying to get up off the ground from a stage. And so I don't even know how that story came about, but it happened, okay? My back is not in good shape because of it. But that's what you do when you're in youth ministry. But anyway, I love Christmas. I love Christmas carols. I love Christmas movies. I love Christmas lights. I don't care if they waste power. Put them on. Put them on your roof. Install those things. There are people that put signs up saying, we install lights. Call them. They'll do it for you. I love Christmas. I love it. And Christmas, for us as Christians, is kind of like our Super Bowl, isn't it? This time of the year, it's really easy for us to impact people around this time of the year. There's almost like there's an open door around the Christmas season that we don't necessarily get the rest of the year. Christmas is our Super Bowl. And, you know, we're called to be salt and light to our city. And what an opportunity it is for you and I in this season to exercise that and to go out there and bless people in our world. As Christians, you and I are called to be gift givers. We're called to be gift givers, not just physical gifts, although that is good. It is a good thing to buy stuff for your neighbors and give it to them. But I'm talking about more than just giving physical gifts. I'm talking about giving gifts to people over this Christmas season. And for too long, Christians have been giving out the wrong gifts. Gifts of judgment. Gifts of judgment. Leave the judging for God. He's got one day put aside for that. He'll take care of that. For too long, Christians have been giving the wrong gifts. The gift of theology. Last time I checked, theology doesn't really save people. Jesus does. And people don't care how much you know if they don't know that you care about them. And at the end of the day, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And we want to be a church and a community that's not built up on knowledge and theology, but just loves on people. Loves on people. I don't consider myself to know half of what I should. There are people that have graduated seminary that would know tons more than I would about theology. And I'm cool with that. Because if I get asked a question I don't know the answer to, I'll say, I don't know the answer to it, but I'll give you a hug and we'll be okay. It's not about how much we know, it's about how much we love people and care for them, amen? You don't have to have the answer for every question and you don't have to know everything to love people, amen? But anyway, today in the last few minutes we have together, I just want to talk about three different gifts, or four different gifts even, that we should give to people around this season. The title of my message is Gift Givers. Let's pray, and then we'll kick this off. God, I thank you for the South Campus. I pray today that my words would not be my words, Lord, but they would be your words speaking through me. Thank you for this amazing church, all the good-looking people, all the models that sit before me today, God. Impact their hearts, impact their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. Awesome. Psalm 47, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 47, verse 1 and 2. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout joyfully to God with a joyous shout, because the Lord Most High is awesome. That's probably an appropriate time to be excited in church. When you find out that God is actually awesome, that's a good thing. He is the great King of the whole world. Shout joyfully. The first gift I think I want to be giving to people, and I would love for us to be giving to people in our city and our community, is the gift of joy. The gift of joy. So if you're taking notes today, you could probably write the number one, and then you could probably write joy. That will help you. The poet Mariah Carey once said, "Joy to the world. The Lord has come, let earth receive her King." And I could sing it for you, but we don't have the time, because Mariah Carey takes about 5 minutes to sing. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Come on, choir. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world. Mariah Carey takes a long time to say anything. She's just really, if she was a worship leader and we were singing Oceans, we would never get through it. We wouldn't even get to the preaching. I'd get up here and be like, well, we've got to go now, because Mariah Carey just sung Oceans for 25 minutes. Anyway, I'm praying for Mariah. I'd love for her to be a worship leader. We have to just coach her on how long she takes to sing a word. But Mariah, if you're listening to this, I love you. Joy. Back to joy. Joy to the world. It's a tragedy if Mariah Carey has more joy than we do as Christians. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. There's a big difference between the two. Some Christians need to remind their face that they're saved and that they should have joy. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy doesn't come from circumstances. You know, you can be happy riding a jet ski. Anybody ridden a jet ski? Yeah. Okay. You're going to have fun on that thing. That's just how it works. That's why people pay thousands of dollars for it, because you are literally buying happiness. You can't buy happiness? Well, you tell that to someone riding a jet ski. You ever seen someone riding a jet ski with a frown? No. You haven't, because it doesn't happen. But you can't buy joy. You can't buy joy. Because joy is not a circumstantial thing. It comes from within. It comes from your soul. We sing that song, Behold. We sang it last week. We're singing it a lot lately. It's one of the most powerful Hillsong songs that I think have come out. And the songs are, Then sings my soul, how great your love is, how great your love is. It's speaking of that joy. It's not speaking of a happiness that comes from a circumstantial thing that will come and go, that will, you know, one day you'll have your jet ski, the next day you will not have your jet ski. So is your happiness determined on that, or is your joy coming from somewhere else? Is it coming from inside? Maybe you and I have forgotten how to sing because we've lost our joy. Joy is such an important thing for us to be carrying in our lives and carrying into our city. Psalm 52 says, Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The Bible also says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You guys know that one. Maybe you've lost your strength because you've lost your joy. Just throwing it out there. But the good news is for you and I is that, especially around this Christmas season, we have a God who is a great restorer, don't we? We have a God that restores joy back to people, amen? And he wants to restore joy back to somebody today, so we can carry joy into our city, into our community, into our schools, into our colleges, into our workplaces, into our restaurants. We can carry joy into our restaurants. I love when people say, that's C3 Church. They're all so happy down there. Oh, what are they so joyful for down at C3 Church? I don't know why I've got an Australian accent. It's not typically like that. But I love it. It's a compliment. It's a compliment to our church when someone writes online how disgusted they are that we're so happy and excited. Well, maybe if you came to church every week, maybe you'd have a bit of joy. And maybe if you got into a connect group and got some friends, maybe you'd have some joy. Maybe if you got on a volunteer team and figured out that life was not just about you anymore, maybe then you'd have some joy. Maybe if you came and worshipped and sung Oceans every week, maybe then you'd have some joy. I think it's a compliment when we get the reputation that we are a joyous church filled with people that have the joy of God inside of us. We're not dependent. We're not up and down like a roller coaster of emotion determined on our happiness state and whether we've ridden a jet ski in the last 7 days or not. No, we're happy. We're not happy because of our circumstances. We're joyous because of our God. Amen. So that's my challenge for me. And that's my challenge for all of us, that we would carry joy in this Christmas season, that we would be a gift giver of joy. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for your boss and your workplace is just carry joy into your workplace. Carry that attitude of joy. When you walk into your office, your boss's office, don't walk in there and sit down and give him 10 problems with a frown on your face. Walk in there with joy. You'd be surprised how far joy goes with your boss and with your coworkers and people that work for you. Amen. Carry joy. It's the joy challenge. Start it today. Number two, moving right along. Number two, the gift of hope. The gift of hope. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I'm going to read that to you one more time. The media guys don't have it. I just add this in. 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That should give you some hope up here in church today. That no eye has seen, no ear has heard. In fact, the Bible is saying that our minds can't even comprehend what God has prepared for you and I. I know about you, but that scripture gives me so much hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Did you know that God has plans for you? If you're worried about your hope situation right now, let me tell you, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. God actually has plans for you. You may not be too impressed with what's going on in your world right now. You may be questioning, where is God? You may have lost all your hope. I don't know where you're at. But let me tell you, God has a plan for you. Plans to prosper you. There's the P word that people sometimes dislike. God has a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God's plan is to prosper you. His plan is to give you a hope and to give you a future. I don't understand. I just have a really hard time understanding discouraged Christians. I have a hard time because our Bibles, and you know, you have the same Bible I do. We all have the same, well, there might be a different version, but they're all the same. Our Bibles are full of hope. These books are full of the promises of God. Come on, if you're lacking in hope in this Christmas season, now is the time more than ever to open your Bible. Don't put your Bible on the bottom shelf when you're going through a hard time. Make it your priority to dig into the Word of God. And you'll find the Bible says that you're the head and you're not the tail. You're above, you're not beneath. That if God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? That's not my words. That's the word of God. It's a promise from God. If that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will. But God wants you and I to get our hopes up. He wants to get our hopes up. As a kid, I had a hope that I would become an NBA player. And I went after that dream for a good 3 to 5 years until I realized that I was slow and uncoordinated and I couldn't jump. But I was okay with the risk of disappointment if I didn't make the NBA. And I managed to get through it. You know, it's a rough few years as I realized I was not going to play for the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan, which was my plan. I was going to be his wingman. We were going to hang out. It was going to be really good. It didn't work out. But don't let discouragement from the dream that hasn't come to pass in your life rob you of your hope. God's always got another plan for you. He has a dream for you too. He wants you to get your hopes back up. Maybe you've let your hopes, you know, maybe 2016 hasn't been the best year for you, and you've kind of let hope sit on the back seat. God wants you to get your hopes back up again for 2017. And we should be hope dealers in our streets. Did you know that? Christians, we should be known as hope dealers. For too long, Christians have just sat back and let the world have our street corners and deal what they call hope. Put your hope in this bottle. Put your hope in this crack pipe. Put your hope in your career. If you make it in your career, you're going to be okay. Put your hope in your bank account. Put your hope in Wall Street. Put your hope in this addiction, this needle, this whatever. But why does the world get to own the street corners? Shouldn't we own the street corners? Because we have something so much better than what the world is selling to people. We have something so much greater. And here's the thing. If people will believe in something that can fail them, that will inevitably fail them, how can they not have hope in a God that cannot fail them? Our God cannot fail people. And we need to be known as hope dealers. We need to have that reputation. Man, that C3 church, they're so happy down there. They got so much hope down there. They're kind of weird. They're kind of crazy. I know people down at C3, they're so happy. Despite their circumstances, they still got hope. Despite what they're walking through, they've still got hope. The reason why we'll still have hope is because we don't close our Bible when stuff goes bad. We open our Bible when stuff's going bad. We believe in a God that has a plan for us. We believe in a God that has a future for us. Someone say amen. Come on, let's carry hope into our city, amen. Have some hope up your sleeve. Have some hope in your jacket for somebody. Oh, you want some hope? Okay, yeah, I got some hope here for you. That's my drug dealer voice. I was never a drug dealer. Never. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, the source of hope. There is a big difference between God being the source of hope and a source of hope. To some people, God is a source that they pull upon whenever they need him, among all the other sources of hope that they have. So for Sunday, it's God. For Tuesday, it's Tony Robbins. Thursday, it's something else. Saturday, it's crystals, whatever they're into. There is such a big difference between God being a source of hope or being the source of hope, your source of hope. Massive difference. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you, everyone say it, trust in him. Because you trust in him. Trust comes before the joy. Trust comes before the peace. Quite often we want the joy and then we want the peace. And then if it all works out well, then we'll trust God. But God is saying here, no, if you trust me first, you'll get to the joy. If you trust me first, you'll get to the peace. That's what God's saying here. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust. Losing your hope quite often can be a byproduct of first losing your trust. Losing your hope can be a byproduct of losing first your faith. But the good news is that God wants someone today to get their trust back, to get their faith back in him, their trust back in him. We can be a church of people that are so full of faith, trusting God. It's contagious. It's like our joy. It's like our hope. We're so full of that stuff. We get known for that in our city. We get known as being the church that has that gift of hope. Don't ever think for a moment that even a moment in a restaurant with your server, a sentence or two that you might say to them could change their entire lives. You just never know. You just never know. And I want our church to continue to have that reputation of the hope dealership, the hope dealers. We put hope into people. And then we tip them. We tip them really well, amen. We tip people really well at C3 Church. And if you're not going to tip them, just say you're an atheist or something. I don't know. Say you're from a different church. Come on, because we live in a world that desperately needs hope, do we not? They're looking for hope in all the wrong places, but we are called to be the church that brings hope to our city and hope to our community. And I'm telling you, Christmas time is our opportunity. It's our Super Bowl. People have an open door they don't have the rest of the year. So let's make sure we're carrying that gift of hope. Amen? Amen. Number three, my third point. The gift of, I couldn't figure out what to call this point, so I'm just going to call it the gift of connection / friendship / inclusion. Because I couldn't choose which one of those to call it, so you just get all three. Three for the price of one, people. Everyone's winning at church today. You get CPK and you get that. It's amazing. So Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. That's a good scripture right there. You could pause for a moment. The people around my life, are they helping me succeed? Am I helping the people in my life succeed? That's just two good questions to ask yourself every now and again. Just a little. That's something for free. Something for free at church. Verse 10, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? All right, just time out for a quick second. My city, do not take that scripture out of context. Many of your parents are here, so they heard it from me too. Don't take that. Stay vertical, okay? Just stay vertical. Pastor Drew said we should lay down. No, he didn't. You stay vertical. You stay around other people, and you keep the lights on, you're going to be all right. I'm just helping out some parents up in here, right? I don't even know where I'm up to now. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. The enemy loves attacking people by themselves. It's easy. Easy for them. Easy for him. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, I get the keys to come up, Chris. You can serenade us with your skill and the Holy Spirit. You know, isolated people are much more likely to be broken than connected people. That's the truth. And although we seem more and more connected in 2016, I would say that we probably aren't. I would say that we are probably less connected than we've ever been before. Because we've traded friendship for followers on our phone. We've traded relationships for fans. And people have traded socializing for sofalizing. Sofalizing is when you get a massive bag of Doritos and you lay on a sofa or a couch, whatever, and you spend like 6 hours binging on social media. That's the day and age that we live in. I love social media. I have social media. I use social media. I might like your picture today. And if I do, don't think I'm a hypocrite, okay? Just relax. Social media is a good thing, but it can't replace relationship. And you go to a restaurant, you see like a couple on their first date and they're both on their phone. So that's not a good start. You go to a doctor's waiting room and everyone's on their phone. You're driving down the freeway and there's someone on their phone about to cause a major accident. We're so obsessed with these things. People have traded spending time, myself included, people spending time with their family or their friends because they'd rather like a bunch of strangers' photos than spend time actually building connection and friendship and relationship. And why is this important? It's so important. It's so important because people who are isolated end up crazy. They end up making bad choices. They end up dating the wrong people. They end up, you know, if you ain't got a connect leader, how is someone going to tell you that you got spinach in your teeth if you ain't got someone around to tell you that? People end up isolated. They end up making bad choices. They end up shipwrecking their lives quite often. That's the hallmark of almost every shipwreck that happens is isolation. Always. And Pastor Stacy and Pastor Emma and the pastoral team would say that most of the time. When someone's had a major shipwreck in their life, it's because they've been isolated. It's such a big deal. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. That's why connect groups are so important. Connect groups are, and I know that we all go to connect groups. We're South Campus. We love connect groups. So I know we're all about it. But let's make sure this week, at our final connect group for the year, let's make sure that we're not just going to connect group, but we're bringing everybody we know to connect group this last week. We have one more time this year to party. Let's go out there. Let's eat lots of carbs. Let's have Christmas parties. Let's make sure no one's alone. No one should be alone in this time of year. We can be so busy in our lives, can we not, that we isolate ourselves? But also, we can be so busy in our lives that we actually miss other people who are isolated, who've isolated themselves. There's this cool story in the Bible in Luke 19 where Jesus meets Zacchaeus, who's hanging out in a tree. I'll read it to you real quickly. Jesus entered Jericho. This is Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho, made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a tree. But Jesus was going to pass by that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, Jesus said, come down. I will be a guest in your home today. I love how bold Jesus is. He just meets some guy who's in a tree and he invites himself over for lunch. That is awesome. Verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. The people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they said. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And then Jesus said, salvation has come to you this day, today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Now this is what I want to focus on here, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. We can't save people without seeking people. But we can't seek people if we don't see people. There's a process to it. Who do we see, or who do we, more importantly, not see? In this Christmas time, who are we not seeing? Who are we missing? Who's that person at your school that sits by themselves every lunchtime and they're sitting in their own little corner and there's no one around them to talk to them? Who's that person at your workplace that sits by themselves in the lunchroom, that same seat every day with their head down, eating their food, no one's talking to them, they're isolated, they're stuck? Let's be a church that always sees the Zacchaeuses in our world. Let's never be so busy walking around like this that we don't see the Zacchaeus that's sitting right next to us in the waiting room, standing by us in the bus, out the front of their house, watering the garden when we come home. Let's never be so busy on this, or so busy in this, in our own world, that we miss the Zacchaeus that are in our world. Sometimes the greatest gift you can give to somebody at Christmas time is just inclusion, is just friendship. We never want to be, and we never will become, the exclusive church. Oh, C3, they're all clicky over there. They have their little connect groups and they don't let anybody in. We're never going to be that. That's never going to be our heart. We're going to be an inclusive church because we have a city that needs to be included on what God is doing right here at C3 Church. And we're going to go out there this Christmas season. We're going to give people the gift of joy. We're going to put a smile on. We're going to have that joy inside of us. We're going to give people the gift of hope. And then we're going to give people the gift of friendship, the gift of relationship, the gift of connection. I'm telling you, it's a thing that people are so hungry for. People are so desperate for those things right now. More than ever before, people want to be included. Everybody has a story to tell. But are we open to listening to it? Are we too busy in our own worlds? Amen? And this is not just applicable outside of church. This can be applicable inside of church as well. And as we get into our building, more and more people will come to church. Our church will grow. It's very possible that someone can get missed. Someone can be lost in a sea of hundreds of people. They can be completely isolated and by themselves. Let's never become that church that misses those ones, those twos, the couple that sits and never talks to anyone. Let's never miss those people. Those people are important to us. They're important to God. Amen. The last gift we can give people in this Christmas season, after we've given them joy, hope, and friendship, is the gift of salvation. And obviously, you and I, we're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior, but we are the invitation. You and I get to be the middleman for the greatest miracle of all time. We get to do that. We get to do that here at church every Sunday. You can be the middleman to someone's salvation. But also, not just that, you can be the middleman to someone's salvation this week in your office block. You could be the middleman to someone's... There's no rule that you got to get saved at church. People can get saved in your living room, a Connect group. They can get saved at work. They can get saved on the side of the road. They can get saved if you meet them at Vons. And remember, you and I aren't the ones that are the Savior. We're just the ones that have the invitation. And people are going to be so much more open to that invitation when you've got joy, when you've got hope, when you've invested in them, when you're their friend. You know, you and I, our lives might be the only Bible that someone ever gets to read. And that's a challenging thought. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." It's a free gift. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says this, "God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God." Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation is not a prize that we earn. It's a gift that we receive. It's freely given, and we freely receive it. Your salvation, my salvation, is not based on your performance. It's based on your position. Your position as a son and a daughter of God. I'm asking you all to close your eyes and bow your heads. I'm going to close the service in just a second. It's really difficult to give the gift of salvation if you have not first received the gift of salvation for yourself. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the coolest thing this week was at Twisted, we saw literally thousands of people come in and receive that gift of salvation at Twisted. It's been an amazing week for our church. But behind all the scenes of those performances, there were literally hundreds, maybe thousands of hours that were put in by our volunteers to make Twisted happen, that amazing musical happen this week. And the reason why all those volunteers put in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours is not because they just love musicals or because they love music, but because they believe in the message that's behind the music. They believe in the story that's behind the scenes of that story. So if you're sitting here today and maybe you don't know what that story is, maybe you need to know today that story is that there is a God that so desperately loves you that He sent Jesus to die for you. No matter how jacked up or how twisted you might feel like you are or you may feel like you've been, there is a God that loves you so much. That's the message of Twisted. That's the message I want to tell you this morning. Maybe you're far from God. Maybe you need a fresh start. Friend, the good news is you don't need to wait to January the 1st to have a fresh start. You can have a fresh start today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anybody in here today that needs a fresh start with God, if that's you, just in the last 30 seconds we have, if that's you today, if you need a fresh start with God, I'd love for you just to wave your hand at me and just let me know that's you. If that's you today, just give me a wave. We'd love to include you on our closing prayer. Just in the last 20 seconds we have, if that's you today, if you want a fresh start with God, thank you, I see your hand. Is there anybody else today that wants to do that? Just in the last 10 seconds we have, your heart could be beating in your chest right now. You know this could be you. We've all made this decision at some point. If that's you, just join with this other young lady who's raised her hand. Just give me a wave right now. Amen. 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 Well, you can open your eyes, church. Hey, let's put our hands together. It's always a celebration when someone puts their hand up to receive Jesus Christ. Come on. Amen. Amen. Incredible. Man, there's a touch of God in here today. The presence of God is here. I'm going to hand back to Mikey Yeager, but for the young lady that raised your hand straight after service, our team just standing by the door up here, give us a wave, altar call team, our ministry team, they're our prayer team, if you would. They're going to pray with you just after service. They're going to give you a gift, give you a Bible. And if you have a Bible, they'll give you another one. You can sell it on eBay. Or you can give it to a friend. Do that. It's probably better than selling on eBay. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.